It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 478, February the 1st, 1981. There are many interesting stories in the news, too many to cover in 1 hour a week on KLRB, and often the subjects seem to jump around. They appear to jump and not have a home base to center themselves, although they do, and if you listen enough, you'll catch on to the limbo and the way the names flow together week after week if you have the patience to listen to them, to that format. And often there are new radio stations that take on these tape cassettes. There's one this week that is beginning to subscribe to the programs with new listeners. So I think it's important once in a while to explain what the program is about for the old listeners as well as the new listeners, and explain why I have the title World Watchers and what I'm doing. The material I cover on this program has to do with basically three things. The choice of forms of government, fascism, democracy, or communism, the way that heads of governments are selected, and with democracy in the middle, the tendencies that were swinging to the right to fascism and losing the democracy that we have, which isn't very many years old, actually, or the pull to the left of the people's movements and the third world to get America concerned with the activities of people and their rights and benefits. One form of fascism is called National Socialism. That was Hitler's socialism. And then, of course, communism and socialism are on the left. In addition to kinds of governments, I'm concerned with the agencies that are used to force these policies upon people or influence them. So sometimes I talk about police systems that are corrupt and cruel, or prison systems, or prisoners in false arrest or murdered in prisons, or armies, the military and the courts, the use of news media, the use of medicine, energy, mind control. Those are drugs, medications, tortures, and so forth. So the agencies that are used to influence the way our government goes are the legal, the professional, the medical, and the military, various establishments, and the agencies under them, like the IRS, the National Security Agency, the FBI, and CIA. And then, of course, there are the people who are either the recipients of good governments or they're the victims. And in my way of saying things, if these people have protection, if we have fair housing and education and employment and health care and recreation, things are going well. And as these things diminish and power gets in the hands of a few at the expense of the rights and welfare of large masses, it's a cause of concern, whether it comes from the left or right. But I try to see how governments, including the United States government, are overthrown by military coup or dictatorships, where heads of states are in power because they specifically murdered their predecessors and assumed power. So I talk about these kinds of government and their agencies and the people that they control. I started this 17 years ago when I wanted to find out who killed President John Kennedy and who was covering up that murder. And the quest seemed easy enough. I don't know why I didn't think it would be that difficult to find out if I pursued the matter. And in the course of pursuing this matter, I came across names repeatedly in books and research or documents, starting with the Warren Commission hearings and studying history of rearming of Germany from the time of World War I was over until the present time on the verge of World War III. Names such as Herbert Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, Randolph Hearst, Allen Dulles, John Foster Dulles, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, William Sullivan of the FBI, the Rockefellers, David Rockefeller, and then wedded with these people were Nazis such as Reinhard Gehlen, chief of Hitler's intelligence, and people such as Richard Helms and John J. McCloy and John McCone and E. Howard Hunt and Adolf Hitler, of course. And wedded also with them was the crime syndicate that blended together the Gambino family, Lucky Luciano with Mussolini, Gambino with the Vatican, and Carlos Marcello and Meyer Lansky, and the organized crime families that formed the syndicate and became wedded not only to Nazism and but to fascism, and combining narcotics traffic with gun running. So that I noticed, as I began to collect books and articles and read more and more, as have many other people noticed, that heads of states were continuously being killed. Our former OSS became the CIA, and the CIA became carefully melded with organized crime after the war, and with Nazis who were released from the prisons in Germany or didn't go to prison at all, and continued their policies in South America and Shanghai and Africa in the Middle East. So as the subject became more complex than who killed Kennedy, the same people who were behind the murder of John Kennedy, who planned it and covered it up, were involved in these other activities too. And as a result of 17 years' work, I have come to the conclusion through my research that our federal agencies, specific agencies such as the CIA, the FBI, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and so forth, have all been pressed together to put down labor unions or social programs or kill radical or liberal leaders or cultural leaders and social leaders, and going into musicians and artists and writers and entertainers also, while they develop their police and armed forces around the world. And as I say, they use the mob for killing and wiping out counter forces, and in exchange, the mob was promised that if they would use their goon squad as killer teams, that the mob would not be prosecuted for their narcotic imports. And that brings in Air American, Flying Tiger, and books on the war in Vietnam and China, and the United States government and military planes going into the narcotic business, and culminating in stories that I've had recently on KLRB of large amounts of money being stolen from banks every single week, unaccounted money that ends up in the hands of mobs and drug programs, gun running, experimentation, and fascism, so that the huge profits today are no longer $1 or $2 million that are exposed changing hands, but it'll be $55 million at the Nugent Hand Bank that's missing from Australia, and $22 million from another city in Florida, and $50 million from Minneapolis, and $23 million from Houston, Texas. And a truck with $27 million of heroin was shipped to Louisiana this week, and the mob didn't pick it up because it was marked. An entire ship is disappearing that was supposed to have corn that was to be transferred for heroin coming in from the Middle East. The ship, the Poet, is missing, and Scotland Yard and CIA link it to the Gambino family. So you don't get a plane load or a paper bag filled with 7 pounds of heroin. You get the entire ship. And what we're seeing in the headlines around the world and the newspapers I'm getting now are the reports of catching some of the people but letting the others slip away. And the system seems to be coming unglued after 45, 47 years of this intense traffic and the huge amount of money handled. There are mass murders, whether it's 900 plus at Jonestown to hide gun running, narcotics, international money, banking, medical experimentations, or whether it's 3 in Santa Barbara, or whether it's 6 or 8 with the Lufthansa burglary in New York City at the Kennedy Airport, and another 4 in San Francisco. There's a handful of people everywhere from 2 to 5 to 7 up to 900 plus that are all linked to common cities, South Africa, London, Germany. Certain banks are being pilfered out of millions of dollars, and it's this kind of a web of traffic that just at this time in history is coming unglued, and it's a phenomena that I will be talking about for many, many weeks on this program, because it's happening now. $25 million was missing from the Wells Fargo Bank in Beverly Hills this week. Missing millions, this Jack Bender that I briefly talked about that I want to go into more, a man with international connections from Israel to Hollywood, to Canada, to South Africa, and linked to Joseph Mengele's. And all of these people, as I say, have common denominators of German contacts, London or South Africa, Canada, and a lot of money is being transferred or, in quotes, missing. Nobody is speaking up. The cases get lost in the news. A lot of people are dying, and it's very necessary to pick up these pieces as they unfold, and that's what I'm going to do for the next weeks to come, or as often as I see this happening. So if I talk about robberies at the Hibernia Bank in San Francisco or Wells Fargo in Beverly Hills or Bank of America or Chase Manhattan or Morgan Guaranty Trust or the Franklin Bank in New York City, the $45 million missing that Michael Sindona of the Vatican evidently knows where it is, but he is in jail in New York at the present time. The figures run into the many, many billions, but it's just a question now of how long this thing can keep going until it really does get put together by the proper authorities in some way. In October this year, there was $140 million that I talked about. It was on a tape, $467, and the $50 million from the Nugan Hand Bank, as I say, in Australia, $12 million missing from Paris in a safe deposit box in November 1980. Another $10 million was taken for a Nazi resurgence group from Nice, that Albert Spaghieri, who said it was for Nazi resurgence. And the figure goes up to hundreds of millions, and I'm beginning now to put the date the news story breaks and the source, how much money is missing, the banks, and the cities. All of this should be put into a computer, and it's almost impossible now, the way the news is going to keep track of it alone, or even if I worked with a staff of people. I don't do that, but it almost is time to just quit typing and get rid of the filing cabinets and get stuff onto computers where you can get a printout and come up with patterns and locate right-wing resurgent Nazi activity funded with gun-running narcotics traffic that involves federal agents of the United States government. And I'll give you some examples of that in a little while. Before I get into that, I do want to just run over for 1 second a few stories in the news this week, because Ronald Reagan is so important to follow, and we don't want to lose sight of him. He's going to entertain the president of South Korea tomorrow, Chun Doo-hwan, and he's gotten the Kim Dae-jung's death sentence put aside. He's to stay in prison for life. I had said on KLRB that if that man were hung in South Korea, I really did think I'd have to leave this country as soon as I could. I just wouldn't want to be around as an American. I hope that he doesn't, in quotes, commit suicide in prison. But the president of South Korea, who's taken away all rights of students and news people, who has a total dictatorship, is just about the first head of state, and wouldn't you know it, that Ronald Reagan will be meeting. Now, the reason to study these assassinations, it's so important, is to keep track of how many heads of states have power today, because they're directly linked to specific murders that preceded them. Ronald Reagan has worked closely with the team of people from the Alpha 66 and the Anti-Castro Cubans and Richard Nixon's team, the people that killed John Kennedy. He has protected and worked with, and he came into office not having to compete with the power of Nelson Rockefeller, who was done in about 2 years before these elections. Nelson Rockefeller was quickly cremated on the orders of a doctor from South Africa who works at the hospital there, where they didn't examine the body to see if he was poisoned, and no questions about his Secret Service guards who were supposed to be with him. Ronald Reagan is linked to this assassination team. Mr. Pinochet is in power in Chile, working close with Reagan and his administration because of the murder of Salvador Allende in Chile. We're now entering a period in the White House where a known murderer, a horrendous murderer who was involved in the murder of the person he followed, is going to be entertained in the White House. And we're doing a lot of business in China with an administration that did in Lin Pao and has now sentenced Madam Mao Tse-tung to life in prison. Lin Pao was murdered so that these people could take power, and then George Bush, as director of the CIA, future director, was also ambassador to China and is working over the death of that leader. And a strong influence in politics today, in the Polish government, and the possibility of starting World War III is Pope John Paul II. And, of course, in Italy there were headlines that John Paul I was poisoned, the 30-day pope was poisoned. So in the United States and in Chile and South Korea and China and in the Vatican, you have specifically people whose power was gained by the intentional murder and knowledge of the murder of the people. Then these people usurped their seats. And the problem with not solving murders such as John Kennedy's or Robert Kennedy's or Martin Luther King is that the murderers stay in power tighter. If you don't put them out because of their crimes, that gives them the permission to continue them if they want. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times this week. It's the anniversary of the death of Mahatma Gandhi, another person who was a symbol to the British to get out of India, and the article has a tragic tone to it. Gandhi, his image fades for the Indians, and it tells how the upper classes have no interest in him, that they thought he was too austere, and they were uncomfortable with his turning away material possessions, and 97% of the students in India know very little about Mahatma Gandhi or know nothing about his fast and his moral power when he was trying to prove arguments against the Hindu government in Calcutta years ago. The students don't know about him. And January the 30th, 1948, just 2 days ago, and quite a few years ago, but not enough, Gandhi was murdered, and he's now actually almost in obscurity in India. The universities don't teach courses about him, and they want to forget that he existed. Another leader who was shot this week that we haven't heard a thing about is Bernadette Devlin. A group of people, three people, broke into her home in Ireland, and they hit her seven times in the chest, hip, leg, three gunmen, and they used sledgehammers. She was in a cottage with her husband. She had three children. She was getting ready for school. She said as she went to the hospital, now they think they've got me, but I'm not dead yet. She's still alive, and her husband is still alive. He also was gunned down three times in serious condition, and she's holding on. But there will be this continuous slaughter of people who speak up and are world leaders unless there is a positive effort to change the society. Ronald Reagan had his first press conference this week, and he began by calling the Soviet Union terrible names. At his press conference, he said the Soviet Union is willing to lie, cheat, and commit crimes. And these were terrible words for the President of the United States to get up and do. He said they would do anything they had to do, that this was their policy. I don't say that the Soviet Union doesn't lie. I don't say the Russians don't cheat. And it would be hard to say they don't commit crimes. But I've done research for 17 years, and I've been on KLRB and on the radio 9 years. And I think we should look at ourselves and not keep yelling at what the Soviet Union is doing. That's what Adolf Hitler did while he displaced or killed and disarranged about 80 million people on the continent of Europe and the Middle East and South Africa. All over Europe and every country was affected by Hitler. And I don't think it serves any purpose to constantly listen to politicians say they do this and they do that any more than it does for families or people to point out to their neighbors if they can't keep their act together themselves. And this country has so many crimes and murders and cheats and criminals working for them that it's hard to believe that Ronald Reagan can say this and get away with it and start this country on a clear path of going forward with that kind of remark. One example of the inconsistency of that kind of thing is a trial was just completed in Oakland of a woman. She's called Darlin, but she's not very Darlin. Darlin June Cromer. And she was charged with killing a black child's death. And at first, the case was very hushed up, and it was secret. testimony there of this woman, and she wanted to barbecue black children. She wants to eat them and cut out their hearts, and she took this one little child and strangled him. He was 5-year-old in Alameda because she got delight in killing blacks, and she expressed the idea that when she got out of jail, she would go down to the South and join the Klan and continue this thing, because she thinks that these little people should be roasted and cooked. And this is very important to her, that these people be eaten. The people like to eat them, the blacks, like chickens and cows. That's the way she talked, and barbecue the blacks. Well, a listener subscriber to my tapes and a fellow researcher sent me an article from the San Francisco Examiner that maybe many of you didn't get on the East Coast, and we certainly didn't get it much on the West Coast. But at the trial of Darlin June Cromer, this was January the 8th, 1981, and the Examiner, a boyfriend of hers, was called. He was supposed to testify at her trial because he was with her the morning that this 5-year-old Reginald Williams was strangled, and he was with this lady. Now, this Ron McInnes, his name is McInnes, was supposed to testify because he said he works for President Nixon and President Ford, and that he killed 4,047 people in his cloak and dagger world, among other things, as an FBI investigator. And the Examiner carried a story that he was an aide to 2 United States presidents. He was a top general's aide in the Army. He's a nuclear weapons expert called upon to disarm and arm atomic bombs. He's a special FBI investigator who was licensed to kill and maim. He's a member of Her Majesty's Secret Service, in which he was only licensed to kill. He was an aide to President Nixon, and he banked $13 million for President Nixon for investment purposes, but he couldn't collect that fortune for at least 2 years. He said right now he lives on Social Security, but he talked about his exploits as Nixon's aide and worked as a special secret task force handpicked by the President of the United States to wage war on the Italian mafia-controlled drug market. We didn't contact the governor or federal drug officials. We netted billions of dollars of narcotics. Now, you have a man talking about being responsible for murdering over 4,000 people, for working for 2 presidents of the United States. And I've said many, many times on these programs that the White House is a battle between the Irish FBI mafia, the Robert Mayhew Intertel type that took over when Howard Hughes moved to Vegas to take over from the Italian mafia, to wipe out the Gambino family and the other Italian mob families that Jimmy Carter represents, the Georgia mafia, a group that profited heavily by the Shah being out, letting him out with traffic coming in from Turkey, Pakistan, and Iran. And that the Nixon-Reagan gang and Paul Axalt and the Hughes gang were working with the Irish mafia. Now, this article simply is about a trial witness for little Darlin Jane Cromer. But it gives you an idea of the murders, of the racism, and the use of this particular man for mafia wars by the presidents of the United States. And he's talking about $13 million payoffs for presidents. And it's talking about billions of dollars in narcotics. So, as I said in the introduction of this program, which you may play over again if you have the tapes and wonder why I talk about these matters, you get the White House, the mafia, killers, money, drugs, one section of the mafia wiping out the other section of the mafia. Now, this McInnes said he has taken the lives of these 4,000 people, but he didn't think anything of it, and this is from the San Francisco Examiner. He said Gerald Ford told him, if he was asked, that he only killed 300 people. And after doing this job for 13 years, he got, in quotes, bad trips and on LSD. And then he was at the trial flirting or looking or smiling at Darlin Jean Cromer, a woman who was very anxious to barbecue blacks and eat them alive. And this is very similar to the articles in Buffalo about cutting out black hearts. And she's testifying that she thinks that powerful people The court quoted this woman as saying that there's powerful people that shared her view of black people, that they were less than human and meant to be eaten like by white people like chickens and crows. And at first she distrusted the masses because she didn't think they shared her opinion. Now, the psychiatrist who comes in to testify for her to get her not the death penalty because of killing a black and invading the civil rights of this little child and strangling him, the man who comes in as a psychiatrist to try to get her a Dan White defense of insanity is Dr. Donald Lund, the same fellow who published a book, Murder and Madness, published by Stanford alumni, who works with Stanford Research, who's written about all the California violences I've referred to for years on this program, whether it was the Oda family or Edmund Kemper. And he's the expert on this crazy California violence, testing mind control, testing assassins and mass murderers. Lund is the man they call in for the mass murders, in this case, this single woman with the black child, this racist, known racist attack that she's done. He becomes the expert, just like I mentioned last week or a few weeks before, that Dr. Diamond, who was a psychiatrist for Sirhan and hypnotized and programmed him, is now with Mark David Chapman, the man who killed John Lennon. The police Gestapo establishment has select doctors for the courts. They have select witnesses. And it's this kind of information that is linked to Ronald Reagan's gang and his team that makes me wonder why he has the right to tell the Soviet Union about lying and killing and cheating. These crimes and this criminal that was at her trial, who was with her the day that little boy was killed and strangled, they laugh at you and me because nobody is sitting and doing anything, and they know they can get away with it. And as she says, they're supported by the right people. I have a bunch of headlines here. I'm not going to make comments about them, but I don't want to let them go till next week. So before this half hour is over, I'll just share some of them with you. There's a Harry Horn, a Canadian speaker, who came to the World Affairs Council in Monterey this week, who heads an organization called FIRA, Foreign Investment Review Agency. And he is asking Canada, he's a Canadian, to look into other countries owning Canada. And he said when the Arabs and foreign interests step up their takeover of American companies, you may want to look into the FIRA and review your investments, that foreigners control in Canada 50% of the industry. And, of course, in the United States, they're buying up with the narcotic money that they're shipping to us. They're buying up the farms, the factories, the food chains. The A&P is German. You can check out the multinationals, the drug companies. They will control our agriculture, our news media, our sources of information, our food. And foreign companies are using the money from the narcotics. We pay them so much for our narcotics, and with that money, they're buying up this country. So that the problem of drug trafficking and putting all that money into the till for them for opium, hashish, cocaine, that the middle class thinks is so chic and cute to be sniffing this expensive cocaine, all those profits are being put into gold and into capital of other countries to buy up the United States of America, and piece by piece, it's being sold out. A Salvadorian human rights director was kidnapped. He hasn't been found in El Salvador this week, and he was speaking up against oppression there, and he's disappeared. The Arabs have urged a holy war against Israel this week, and Mr. Yamani was on ABC TV saying that we will raise the price of oil, and then we will raise it again, and we will double it and double it. He said this January the 30th, 1981. And he said, we will cause inflation in the United States, and we will cause depression and repressions, and we will do this until you are prepared to take a stand against Israel. So a lot of people can't play ignorant to that little announcement this week. The Arabs urge a holy war against Israel, and Mr. Yamani is saying that the Arabs can force a repression and depression and inflation in this country. So they're warning, and again, we'll probably be immobile to do very much about it. I have a picture of book burning in Omaha, Nebraska, some more album covers, record covers. This time the album The Animals and the Omaha Christian School in Nebraska is burning music albums. The Atlanta, Georgia officials are asking for help. 17 black children have disappeared. 14 more have been slain. They haven't solved the murders in Buffalo, New York, where they're cutting out the hearts of black people. 4 gas station attendants have been gunned down in Rockford, Illinois. And as I said several months ago, it's open hunting season. And when are people going to be prepared to stop this kind of slaughter on our soil? And is it going to be too late by the time they catch on? The United States, for the first time this week, says that they're easing up on their reporting of aliens in this country. They used to list themselves in January, but they've run out of paper. There's a shortage of forms this year. They can't distribute them. Therefore, they're going to be lenient. Can you believe how many illegal aliens will be flooded into this country to move out the workforce? And the excuse was that there's not enough paper. Enough paper. I heard that Ronald Reagan used $60,000 worth of paper the first 2 days of his transition team, but the aliens can't be registered this year, and they can cause a lot of unemployment of our own Chicanos and blacks and white Americans. And now, under the excuse of paper shortage, they're slowing down the registering of these people. And last, Yoko Ono sent $25,000 to the New York Police Department, it was reported this week, with a message, you are special people, you certainly are among the most beautiful of people. That's the New York Police Department that knew that Lennon was stalked for 3 days, that refused to accept the picture of the man with John's assassin and allowed John to be photographed for cover magazines on the slab when he was murdered. She thanked the police with a check for $25,000. You are among the most beautiful of people. That is the end of the first 30 minutes, and we'll get back to some of these stories in about 1 minute. It's Mae Brussel and Carmel.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.